Hi everybody, it's Friday afternoon again here on Redruth Radio, 3:30, and do the right thing. And today we've got Janet coming into the studio in a bit, Janet McEwen. She's going to tell us all about what's been happening at CMR as regards the project about John Cage. But we're going to go with a little bit of music now, and this is Kelly Pritchard and the Snow Leopard. And that was Kelly Pritchard's In Search of the Snow Leopard, and that was Salida. Okay, well, at CMR Gallery in Redruth, a while ago, they had a exhibition of all the placards which were made on the last London March against the cuts, and they've got another one which is happening next Saturday, October the 20th, and Guy Atkins has written an article which appeared in the Morning Star the other day. He's certainly, I'm looking at a fantastic picture, which is teapots against kettling. And there's a man standing in it with a teapot. Guy collected all the old posters and placards from the last march, and he made a great exhibition out of them. They've provided, the Condems have got plenty of targets, NHS, the Reform Bill, free schools, the ATOS contract, and all you need, he says, is a spark to get you going, and a source of inspiration could be Make the March website, www.makethemarch.org.uk. And its aim is to share protest material people are making for the coming march and rally. The campaign of teapots against kettling is but one great example. I think it's very funny. And there were some amazing placards. If you came to CMR and saw the exhibition, there were some absolutely fantastic placards there. There's a little sweetener too, apparently, with five £100 prizes courtesy of the TUC for great placards. The judging panel for the competition includes Josie Long and Bob and Roberta Smith, who I've heard of and apparently are very good. And the closing date is October the 22nd. So if you want to make a placard for that, get along there. Now, I do have, Janet's just arrived. She's run up the road and got wet. So Janet, if you'd like to talk into that microphone there, just say hello. Come a bit closer.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Janet from CMR, and Janet's going to be telling us after the next little bit of music, which is some poetry loops. We're going to hear from her telling us all about what's been happening, so I can't wait. Okay, here we go with some poetry loops from Paul Farmer.
On Porthmere Beach, he said the first thing that hurt her. Carelessly and unaware, he stared at a girl's bikini breasts and quietly said, "Wow." And she felt the first disappointment of this part of her life and realised it was just that, something that began and would end. They push their heads into another atmosphere. They push existence their heads in a raw time. Atmosphere. They need their granite exposed to in a raw nature. They need old men still guarding something that is gone. Old men our work is too fast. They see it blurred, feel it as pinpricks. But we have tidied the meanings of their footsteps. We have tidied a landscape of their footsteps. We roll around them in these small rooms. We roll and take our time to kill small from below. And take our time to kill small from below. And take our time to kill small.
Okay, well, they were poetry loops from Paul Farmer's installation. I'm afraid I can't tell you what they were called because it's written actually on the CD. But anyway, well, we've got Janet here from, she's doing the latest project at CMR, which is in Redruth. It's an avant-garde art gallery, I think that's how you describe it, for art that you would, that is a bit cutting edge and a bit different, isn't it, Janet?
Yeah, we like to think so. We like to think so.
That's right, yeah. Okay, now, this latest exhibition, Janet, can you tell us why you wanted to do it in the first place?
The latest exhibition was, I have to ask you, Sue, was that Paul Farmer's
it was
poetry loop from the, that was...
installation, that was
well,
it.
Yeah, that from the installation, because that's part of the, that in theory is part of the... the show at CMR,
yeah.
I think. However, we did notice it was missing, Paul, if you're listening. So I hope it's going to be coming back to the show because it was commented on that a couple of people were going, where's that great sound piece that Paul did? So anyway, so that's a seamless, you didn't even know it, did you?
No, well, that I did know that was, okay. It was recorded, I think he did that for the thing that he did on the old road to St. Just. Where you go from St. Ives, St. Just, that was...
So that was a different piece?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Okay, all right. This exhibition, or the project, is really celebrating the composer and musician and thinker and cultural pioneer, John Cage, who, if you are a Redruth Community Radio regular listener, you will be thoroughly aware of, because you'll have heard Kane Baker, one of the presenters.
I must say, I went to the last thing, the talk that he did about John Cage. I thought it was fascinating, and I wish I'd gone, been able to go to the other two. And it did make me want to listen to John Cage.
And also Kane's, he's so, because he presented a show of, he presented a series through Redruth Community Radio about John Cage. I think he presented 5 weeks of programmes. And actually, I have to thank Redruth Community Radio, because if it hadn't been for Redruth Community Radio, Kane wouldn't have been presenting those shows, and we wouldn't have met him, and he wouldn't have, we wouldn't then be able to, he wouldn't have fed into the project in the way that he fed into, which really, you know, he was a bit of a catalyst for a lot of people's creative.
Well, he's very
thinking.
Knowledgeable, isn't he? Yeah. He's incredibly knowledgeable about John Cage. I mean, for instance, I just thought he was, before I knew about him, a minimalist poet, a minimalist composer, rather, like Philip Glass, but he's not. He's totally different. And I didn't realise he was a visual artist, and I didn't realise he was a poet either.
Yeah, he's a mycologist. You know, he encompassed so much. But, you know, I really do have to, and I want to thank Redruth Community Radio, because it is, you know, really been a big you know, as well as being here to tell everybody about it, having Kane speak was just fantastic. And he actually has now, I invited him to become one of the artists in residence. So Kane actually is exhibiting work in the show this weekend.
Ah, right, yeah.
He's written.
That's really what you've come to talk about, isn't it? That is the show on this weekend.
Yeah, and it's at CMR, which is, as everybody knows, I'm sure, around, it's at the top of Back Lane West.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just off the off 4th Street. So it's very close to the town.
Behind the HSB Bank, isn't it?
Behind the HSB Bank. It's very close. And you'll actually also notice a piece of work from the show on 4th Street. If your eyes are peeled in the former arts and graphics shop, the green shop that's opposite the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the window of that, one of the artists, Caroline Arnold, has put a piece of work in. And in fact, every week for the past 3 weeks, we've been presenting a piece of work in the shop window. We've been changing every week. And Paul had a text piece in the window at the beginning of this week, which is now actually installed in the
So
in
how
the
many actual artists have you involved in the project, Janet?
Right. Now there are, I think, at the last count, I think there's 15. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11,
just adding 12, them 10,
14, 15, because there was a couple of changes. So, and I think 15, it sounds an awful lot. And I guess it is in some ways, but the way that the exhibition, the exhibition is the showing the work that was generated over 3 weeks of artist residencies and at CMR, and every week, three different artists plus a couple of other people.
Because the show's called 4 Weeks, 33 Hours, isn't it?
And if it's called 4 Weeks and 33 Hours, and that is, it's kind of taking, it's referring to John Cage's most famous piece, which was his silent piece called 4 Minutes and 33
which
Seconds.
A band performed at Gaslight, which is also in Redruth, across the road from CMR, and that was actually performed live, wasn't it, that piece?
Yeah, there was three bands, three garage rock, I think they described themselves, under the direction of Liam Jolly, who is the drummer with one of the bands, Mr. Postman, and also an artist that's very closely associated with CMR. And, yeah, there was a live performance of 4 minutes 33 seconds.
It was brilliant. And it was great to see that they were all really, some of them were very, very young. In fact, one of them was, she used to be my student when she was a little girl, a drama student when she was a little girl. And she was, I think it was interesting that they'd done something which was this avant-garde composer, John Cage, and probably none of them had ever heard of him before, so it might stimulate them to go out and find something by him. I heard something on Radio 3, which is sort of ethereal voices, because I wasn't, as a choral person myself, I mean, I'm quite interested in choral pieces, and it was a lovely, absolutely lovely choral piece, and I think Kane played a choral piece at one of his talk, at his last talk, which was beautiful, beautiful piece.
Yeah, I missed that last talk. I was thoroughly annoyed.
Yeah.
Yes, I know, because he's a very good presenter.
Yeah, he is.
And it was like he did take everybody through John Cage's life in a very gentle and thoughtful way that you did.
And it was chronological as well. It was all because he went through various periods of his life. Because I had no idea that he'd written poetry, as I say, or was a visual artist at all. So what made you think of doing something about him for CMR? Janet.
Yeah, well, I've been interested in John Cage for, 30 years, I think. And actually, it was prompted by one Christmas, actually the Christmas of 1983, I decided to try and escape Christmas. And so a friend and I took a train to Paris and, one of these Euro cheap rain car things. And we decided to go for a few days and, escape. We thought we'd get out of buying presents and stuff. And by chance, and I would say that with a slight irony, but we walked into the Pompidou Centre because we arrived back in Paris on New Year's Day. And John Cage was presenting Good Morning, Mr. Orwell. It was a transatlantic production, and it was one of these. It was a really innovative piece of work, and there was all these people in the Pompidou Centre in Paris playing brooms and bits of planks of wood and all kinds of stuff. And there was also a big exhibition of his visual art that was showing all the prints, his prints that he arranged. The arrangements were composed with quite strict but chance procedures, and I was just completely inspired. Although I'd heard of him, I didn't realise he was a visual artist, which it was my interest at the time.
I mean, to me, if I look at his visual art, it looks like he's composing. Yeah. It just looks like a piece of music. It looks like a score. The bits that I've seen, I haven't seen all that many, granted.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky because this was I feel it was like a retrospect. Well, I mean, he was still at that point. He was still very much alive and kicking.
Mm.
And I just really had an opportunity to see the breadth of his interests and his talent. And so from that point in time, he was kind of a major. He was there. He had lodged himself in my kind of psyche, and he burbled away there. Bubbling up and receding again for a number of years. And then I did a project last year. I was involved in a project in Scotland that was looking at the work of Alan Capro, who was one of Cage's students. And Alan Capro was the chap who coined The Happening. And he sort of invented The Happening. But he was, again, inspired by Cage.
Because The Happening was quite a big thing in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was kind of like... I can remember going to one and smashing up pianos in the 70s. I can remember going to something like that. I was very young. I mean, I must have been only about 14. And people smashed up pianos and broke up pianos all evening. It was weird. Weird. But it was, theatre, happening in theatre rather than, I don't know whether you'd call it, because it's this art business is a very merging line nowadays, isn't
That's
it? I think even more so, and I think that is part of the reason that CMR has been set up in the way it has, because it is all different kinds of things merging together. What is art? What isn't art? And and so on, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing, and the 15 residents. I mean, they have included Kane, you wouldn't never have called himself an artist.
Nope.
And also we have Pauline Penna, who is a Redruth resident, who is the coordinator of the Cornwall Fungi Group.
Mushrooms.
Yeah, and she's into mushrooms and fungi, and she also took up a residency and has produced some lovely work. And wrote a piece of
what I wrote.
What she written was a piece of poetry inspired by John Cage's Misostic, and it is just absolutely beautiful.
Hmm. All right, Janet. Well, we'll come back to you in a minute, because I think you're going to kind of explain more about what you see in him. We're just going to go with a bit of music from the A39s now. And this is called Barbed Wire Fence.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Razor Wire Fence by the A39s from a CD called Article 14, which is a benefit for the Medical Foundation for Victims of Torture in support of their work on behalf of asylum seekers. Okay, well, this afternoon, as you heard before I played that piece of music, is Janet McEwen, and she's curating. Is that the right word, Janet?
Oh, don't ask me.
I don't know. Don't ask me either. She's the project at the current project at CMR in Redruth, and she come to talk about it on the radio this afternoon. There's about 15 artists involved. So, what is the length and the breadth of the work? Is it music? Is it art? Is it writing? Is it film? Is it in installation? Is it is there any performance art? Tell us, Janet.
Yeah. Well, all of these things and more.
Of course.
It's an absolute smorgasbord of,
oh, it
of art.
It
is really, you know, really, there's something to delight everybody. And I think really the exhibition is terribly exciting, and there's something to delight all your senses. I don't know about the food thing, but if you come to the opening night, I'm sure there'll be something to munch. But there, there's quite a lot of artists have explored sound, not least because John Cage was very interested in sound as he was a musician and composer.
I think some of it's very difficult to listen to. If you've ever heard John Cage's music, I think it's choral stuff, but the orchestral stuff, I had to look at the scores for them and I thought, my God, I can't play that.
Yeah.
They are really complicated, funny, strange scores, aren't they?
Yeah.
And there was a reason for doing that, wasn't there?
Well, I mean, I'm not really up in his theory, and I don't like to tread onto this. I think you'd better ask Keane.
All
but
right.
But he was exploring, he was challenging our kind of Western, our limitations of our kind of Western constructs around music and production and how we experience music and what we think is acceptable.
So have you had any musicians come in to do anything, or any of the artists currently musicians doing anything?
That's a good point. I think a lot of them, yeah, I think, I don't know if, are there any musicians? Yes, actually, that's true. Mary is Mary Fletcher is definitely a musician, and she teaches piano, actually. And she did perform 4 minutes, 33 seconds on the street at the beginning of the residencies. And she also performed his Music for Changes, which I happen to have borrowed the score from the library.
Mm.
And it's an incredibly complex piece.
Oh, it is. I had a look at it.
Yeah, incredibly complex. And so she battled the wind, which was flapping. Nobody was able to assist her by turning the pages because none of us had a clue.
Couldn't read it.
Where we were able to read or interpret or decipher the score. So that was filmed, although and that's not actually on show at the minute. But so Mary is a musician, and so it's quite interesting because there are people who are looking at sound who are not musicians, have no understanding of kind of music theory, right? And there's a number of other people who are looking at sound from quite a different perspective, and they have no music training. They can't, they can't play a triangle almost. And that's quite interesting. For example, Sarah Bowler is definitely, I know that she's not music, has no music training, because I heard the question she was asking Keane one day. And so I know she won't mind me saying that, because she was quite open about that. But she's been looking at kind of the ambient sounds, the difference in the sort of sounds in our lives,
because I think
pre-industrial or post-industrial.
Because he was quite keen. I remember Keane telling us about one piece that he'd written, which was for shells and water, and so he was interested in the sounds around rather than how an instrument makes us, how you can use something to make a sound, and that was quite an interesting look at things, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and I mean, that was one of the reasons that he composed 4 minutes, 33 seconds, which was basically, it's almost like an empty score sheet, an empty music sheet. The orchestra come onto, or the musicians, they come onto the stage, they sit down, they take up the positions, the conductor takes up his position, and then there is silence, and the audience sits in silence. But what becomes apparent in this experience is actually that sound is ever present, and it draws our attention to that moment. And there are other things that he's kind of inquiring into through this composition, but that's one of the main things that we become aware of, just the sounds around us that we quite often filter out.
Because there's never silence, is there? There's never really silence. There's always something going on that you can hear, isn't there?
Yeah, that's almost word for word one of John Cage's quotes.
Oh, right.
Yes, it is. Well done.
Oh, I listened very attentively in the lecture.
Yeah, you did. You're top of the class.
Okay, and so is most of it, any of it performance art
well,
at
we
all,
have,
Janet?
Well, we have recorded performance on show, and then on, but also on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. There's going to be, well, from 6 to 9 on Saturday evening, there's a kind of social event that everyone's welcome to come along to. And on Saturday evening at 7 p.m, Rob Gothrop from Falmouth is, actually, I think he may be Penryn, he's doing a performance of Post Fluxus, and I'm really not going to go into what that is.
I have heard he's the School of Noise, isn't it?
Yeah, he's involved with the School of Noise, and he's doing a short performance now. I think it's called Drip, and I think it involves a step ladder and a bucket, and probably a third element that you can probably imagine what it is from the fact it's got a sound. So I'm not, but I won't tell you. And I'll let that to your imagination.
Yes.
And then also,
well, this is what radio's for, you see, to use your imagination.
Yes, I know. But there's something that's quite a lot of about today, just in case you're really...
All right, yes.
I really, you know, need another hint.
Yes, it's another day in Redruth. Yeah. Usually I'm sitting in this studio on a Friday evening commenting on it, so you'll know what we mean.
Yeah, so that's called Drip. And then at 7:30, we Ilker Sinerel, who is a Turkish artist, and he... has recently graduated from Falmouth MA Fine Art. Mm-hmm. I think it was a couple of years ago. And he's will be performing a piece of his of work that he's developed from looking at John Cage's, really more into John Cage's personal life and authorities. And I think he's been inquiring into other reasons why John Cage might have been interested in silence, but I'm not going to say too much more about that.
Right.
On the radio, you know, you can come along and find out, come to the gallery and you can see. And then after that, there'll be further play, because one of the Darren Ray is presenting a sort of participative work using a piano that was appropriated earlier a couple of months ago, and that he's been playing with, and he's been having some serious play with, and the piano will never be the same. And so
it's a bit of deconstruction going on.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of deconstruction going on, but the piano's you know, it's become a real individual now, and it's going to be are going to be invited to help create a piece of artwork with parts of the piano. So that should be fun. But it will be time limited, so that you've got to get along about 8 o'clock if you really want to take part in that, and that's going to be good.
Right. So the whole thing starts at 7?
Well, the evening starts at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Till 9 o'clock.
Excellent.
But the gallery is also open in the day, so if you can't come in the evening and you've got other commitments or, you know, other things.
But it's a kind of participatory event and listening event in the evening.
Yeah, yeah. There's the live performance, and there'll be lots of people there. I'm sure it'll be exciting.
It sounds wonderful. Right, yeah, Janet, we'll come back to you and find out a little bit more about what's happening in a second. But we're going to have a little bit of Cornish music now from the... Hang on a minute. Four Lanes Male Voice Choir. Sorry, I was just about to say Holman Climax, but it isn't. The Four Lanes Male Voice Choir, and it's the Floral Dance.
As I walked home on a summer night, when stars in heaven are shining bright, far away from the footlights glare, into the sweet and scented air of a quaint old Cornish town. Born from afar on a gentle breeze, joining the murmur of summer seas, distant tones of an old world dance, played by the village band perchance, and the Camel came floating down. Thank you. felt so lonely standing there, and I could only stand and stare, for I had no maid with me. Lonely I would have to be in that quaint old Cornish home.
Suddenly hasting down the lane, a figure we knew we saw quite plain. With outstretched hands we rushed along, and carried away to that merry throng, and fiddle and all went dancing down.
And that was Four Lanes Male Voice Choir with Floral Dance, which you can see in Helston in May. Wonderful it is. One of those beautiful festivals that happen down here every year, and Cornwall's full of them. Right, okay, well, this afternoon we've had Janet Kewen in from CMR. She's got the latest project. She's come along with the latest project details of what's happening there, and it all sounds fascinating. And I kind of, this programme does focus on Cornish writers. Not necessarily, I must say, I like to make it much more of an eclectic mix, really. But you've got some poets, have you, Janet? Some poetry there, inspired by John Cage?
Yeah, we do. There are, although actually, I don't know if anybody would call them, describe themselves as a poet,
who's there.
But we have some. But there are a number of the artists have really, been inspired by John Cage's writing, and he experimented with words. He was extremely playful, and Now, I don't know if he invented misostics.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for, because it's a way of, you write a word down the page and then you write across, don't you? And
yeah, that's right. So you have the main word and you come off from that.
Now, that's right.
I don't know if he invented them. I'm not very good on facts. But honestly, but a number of artists have really been kind of inspired by this format and taken it in different directions. And so you'll see quite a few pieces of misostics, but presented very differently and covering quite different territory. And as I mentioned before, even Pauline Penna, who is a resident mycologist, produced a beautiful piece that kind of reflected an afternoon's foraging for fungi. Foraging,
she took
for
people on a walk, didn't
That's
she?
That's right. She led a walk and she wrote a small piece sort of describing that, and she chose to write it in misostics. And actually, I think she wrote one in Latin and she wrote one in English. And I think that's right. I could be wrong, but I think that's right. But anyway, I just said, can we just stick with the English one? And because I suppose it was quite, I wouldn't be able to tell whether she was rearranging letters by chance or whether it was Latin.
Right.
That's the level I gave up Latin pronto styly. And and Duncan Hopkins has also produced some written from misostic pieces, I think. And Duncan is a painter. No, he's, he would describe himself as a painter, but he's been stepping out of his comfort zones into other arenas in the project. And And also, it was quite interesting because I asked most of the artists have produced a statement about their work, what they've produced for the exhibition. And so that helps the audience or our visitors to CMR kind of maybe get a little bit of a handle on the work. And I've invited everyone to write their statement on pencil or the wall. You know, normally people write things on paper and it's printed up or you put, and maybe stuck on the wall. But actually, I've asked people to use their handwriting. And I really like seeing things written by hand. It's something that...
It's quite artistic, isn't it, really? Much more than printing it out on a computer or using a fancy font.
That's right. It is old-fashioned, but it's less and less a form that we see. And it is really the artist's hand and just that kind of the way that it gives you an insight into who they might be.
What I did like that you did, one of the things that I did come to as part of the John Cage project was the thing that you played to all these different gramophones all at once. Was it 12 that had to all be played at once?
Yes, it was 12, and that piece of work was called 33 and a third. That was what it was called. And
because I suppose originally it would have been on dance set.
On 33 and a third, that's like the record player.
Yeah, that's right.
And so the original piece, his original piece was 33 and a third, and it was to be played on 12 turntables and the idea was that it was set up, and he called it museum, 12 turntables would be set up a museum, a random collection of vinyls would be available, and it's an audience participative piece. It could last as long or short a time as people would like.
And it was all played at once. So it's a bit like a cacophony of sound. But actually, it really, when I my experience of it was that it just all kind of merged into this sort of ambient sound that you'd hear if you were in a supermarket or somewhere like that, you know, or and that's my experience of it.
It wasn't as challenging. You know, it was almost easier than you might have expected.
Yeah, it found its level.
Yeah.
It kind of found a level where it all just sounded like one noise rather than it being, you know, you can hear a bit of something there and a bit of something else there.
But it was quite interesting because Liam Jolly and I discussed, you know, sort of negotiated doing this, presenting this piece, and we really thought, we didn't have much time, and we thought we'll never find 12 turntables, and actually we didn't. But I was starting to feel quite anxious on the day that we weren't even going to get. So we decided we have 12. Like music making.
I brought along a tape recorder.
You did, and it was lovely.
Because I quite like all this old. I'm quite into all this old technology, and I'm not somebody who's frightened of new technology. Saying that, I mean, I'm sure someone will disagree with me, but I'm not. And I find that tape recordings, they were very arbitrary. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't work, sometimes they broke. And I like the nature of that. I like the kind of chaotic nature of that. I think we've got, with everything we've got now, we're striving for something which is so perfect that nothing, there's no element for anything to go wrong. And I quite like the chaotic nature of tape recorders. Just thought I'd add that.
That evening, actually, it was interesting because there was a couple of people from Finland who were music students.
I met them,
They appeared at the door, and I was sort of really amazed that someone, how did they find their way there?
They were students at Tremeau, weren't they, at the Performance Centre.
But they came in, and they went over, they went, oh, cassettes. And I don't think they'd ever actually seen them.
Quite a lot of people picked them up. Mythological
kind of artifact.
Because you can't actually buy them anymore. And now CD players haven't got built-in tape recorders in them anymore.
And they were young. They were young.
Yeah,
students.
They were very young. So I do remember tape recorders incredibly well. And it's just a different kind of technology, isn't it? But I just like, exactly, somebody else picked a cassette up and they said, oh, I haven't seen one of these for years.
It was charming, wasn't it? And I thought that was good. So and so the words. So we were talking about the words. Yeah, there people
the poetry.
Are right. Yeah, poetry. So that has happened, and I think actually I don't know if I can say any much more about words because they're putting. But people have been looking at his writing and reading his writing.
You were talking about people writing their statements in handwriting on the wall,
and
saying it's a bit artistic, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's just like because a lot of people have also produced work that is digital. Actually, I quite like to have a little bit of a kind of direct contact with the artist, even if it's just through their handwriting and not another kind of removed, removed again through the printing, through the computer, so it's a direct, and it actually saves money as well. It's a heck of a lot cheaper. But then getting them printed up, and you know what I mean? It's just, and it's nice. But it was quite interesting. A couple of artists were quite resistant. They felt they didn't want to graffiti the walls.
Oh.
But we used a soft pen so we can rub it out in a bit of white paint. And it'll be sorted.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be fine.
Okay, Janet. Well, we'll come back to you and just go over some of the things that have been happening. But we're going to have a piece of music from Perry St. John now.
Rhythms gently surround me. You music from my own heart and soul. A masterpiece of mind and body composed on an old piano, bought with pennies from the stars. In a room with a view of the ocean dark blue, a castaway shoreline before me, I yearn to stay for eternity in this bliss. Above shines a bright jewel, a diamond in the sky. I feel it is mine to hold, to touch, and to cry on. Teardrops falling gently from my crystal eyes into a sea of love. My hands touch the ebony and ivory, the tones, a magical spell upon me, tingling, caressing, stripping me naked but for my emotions. And then you enter, a calm before a storm, a spark before a fire. You speak of your desire. Now the music is a distant trance, hypnotic paradise, then romance. For together we play, our spirits alive and floating in the breeze, as strong as the earth. The voice of the waves screaming, music and love, music and love, music and love, now and forever. Cherish every second of your loves. Listen to the sounds, silver doves. Golden rain pours against a window pane. Treasure every second of your life.
And that was Peregrine St. John with his CD, Generations, and that was his a poem called The Stars. Right, okay, well, we're just going to get Janet to finish mentioning all the artists involved in the project and maybe to tell us a little bit about the a very good review which has been written about it as well. Janet, over to you.
Yeah, well, I feel... I'd like to just... I think I've mentioned quite a few of the artists... who are involved in the project, but there's a couple I haven't mentioned who I think are also producing fantastic work. Everybody's work's really interesting and definitely worth checking it out. We also in the show are Alice Mahoney, who has a studio, actually one of the Crowdy studios, in Redruth. So she's working locally and she's produced really interesting work looking at trying to walk a straight line across the town, marking a straight line and then not quite managing it. And Stuart Blackmore has produced a very playful piece that is just like, you just got to come and experience it. It's like roulette wheels and disco light and laser beams and all kinds of interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. And Anna Sadler has got a very intriguing piece that's looking at public and private and Venetian blinds, and there's a bit of nudity
for Redruth.
For Redruth. I know it's like really hot stuff.
Risqué.
It is risqué. And I think everyone else I've mentioned, apart from Joe Millett, who's produced a fantastic piece of video and sound work that she's projecting onto the stairwell as you come into the building, and it really draws you in and infuses the whole space with a real mood that you just again have to come and experience. It's a great piece of work, and so that's most of the artists name checked, I think, and mm-hmm. It's all really good mix.
Okay, and that all kicks off tomorrow. It's on, what time is the actual exhibition on tomorrow then?
Well, it's open to the public today until 7 o'clock.
Right.
It was open from 1 till 7 today, but we were actually probably still nailing things to the walls earlier on. But it's open today, and tomorrow it's open from 1 till 7 in principle, but there's also the private, well, it's not a private view, it's a social event from 6 till 9.
Where there's going to be quite a bit of participation. Yeah. Stuff and listening.
Yeah, and then Sunday it's open from 1 to 7. And that's it, because it has to finish at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, because that will be the end of, that will have reached its total of 4 weeks and 33 hours. And so at 7 o'clock it closes exactly.
Thank you, Janet.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you for coming on today, Janet.
You're
it's been wonderful having you here.
Oh, thanks.
And hearing all about it. It's just, it is really interesting. So please come along and get involved tomorrow at CMR and or Sunday. And I'm going to go now with the listings for what's happening this week. Okay, well, this week, as Janet's been telling you, at CMR, it's the final event to celebrate John Cage's centenary. And there's all sorts of things on there, so do go along and get involved in that. Cafe Frug is on Thursday in St. Ives at the Arts Club. It starts at 8 p.m. Admission is £4 unless you're performing. And don't forget, at Truro Library on October the 23rd, Peter Tickler is giving a talk about crime writing. Starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets for that are £1. Next week on the show, we're going to be having the John Harris Folk Opera. We've got Alan Forster, Nikki Reed and Anne Foxglove coming in. We're performing on Sunday in Liscard as part of the John Harris Festival, and we'll be doing the same show here live on the radio next Friday. So that'll be something to look forward to. And my quote of the day is from Friedrich Nietzsche. It is my ambition to say in 10 sentences what others say in a whole book. So there you go. All right, well, we're going to play out now with our end track. Thanks again to Janet. Happy listening, everybody. Do tune in again next week to Do the Right Thing, and hope to hear from you. And if you want to listen again, it's on Sunday evening. This show is repeated and it's on the archive from Tuesday onwards. So if you want to listen again to what Janet's got to say about CMR, do. But it's goodbye from me now. Bye.